Blog Talk Radio.
Come back into your homes once again just to lift up the name of Jesus, just to tell you it's the good news. If you want to be a part of this service, why, go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759. 310-742-1759. Go ahead and call in and we'll... You're right in here. We're speaking about faith tonight, so we just thank God for everyone that called in and be with us just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I want to say that we want to remember Brother Kevin Miller and their family, his wife, I think it was Friday, passed away about 10:45. So they've got four small kids. We need to remember that family and lift them up to the Lord. They're going to have their funeral Wednesday. So that's her name is Sister Callie Miller. So and we'd like to say too that Sister Callie and Timothy Dockery made a CD together, and it's hit top. Number one record in Kokomo, Indiana, and here in Madisonville, Tennessee, it's hit number one. So we just praise God for that. So I see that we got a call in here. So 770, go ahead and come in here and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother Lord, this is Brother John Sample from Thomaston, Georgia, pastor of Zion Tabernacle, and we just appreciate the Lord and what He's doing in our lives, and just a privilege, and once again, to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I'm going to let Timothy Dockery come on and sing a song, and then we'll get right back into the Word there, Brother John.
All right.
Okay. Timothy Dockery, come on and sing for us.
I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. If I live the way I should, He's promised me He would. And I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe that God is watching over me, and He's aware of each and every need. I believe He knows what's best, so even through the test, I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. If I live the way I should, He's promised me He would. I believe God's working all things for my good. Oh, I admit sometimes I tend to doubt. Frustration rises, nothing. again that God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. If I live where I should, He's promised me He would. And I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe it. 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 I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe God's working all things for my good. If I live the way I should, He's promised me He would. I believe God's working all things for my good. I believe it. I believe it. I believe God's working all things for my good.
Amen. Praise God. I tell you what. I believe God's working on all of us for His good. So, you know, I tell you what, as long as we keep that faith and believe that and work and let Him work on us, why, it'll be for His good. So, Brother John, go ahead and come on in there and tell us what the Lord's dealing with you there today.
Tonight we're speaking upon faith out of the book of Mark, chapter 2. Tonight's message is, as Jesus saw your faith. As Jesus got a revelation and a vision of your faith, your persuasion, your conviction tonight in the truth of the living God. The Bible says that Jesus had entered into Capernaum there in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2 after some days, and it was noised abroad that He was in the house. You know, He always went about doing the Father's business. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 49, when Mary and Joseph was seeking for Him after the feast, and amen, as they sought for Him, they found Him there in the temple of God, of His Father. And Jesus declared, He said, how is it that He sought me? What's that I would be about my Father's business? Everywhere the Son went, He was about the Father's business. And here in the house, the Bible says that straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and He preached the word unto them. Here in this house in Capernaum, there was standing room only, even though, amen, that even they couldn't even get around about the door. There were so many people that had gathered together on that day. You know, tonight we need to stand fast. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made thee free. And be ye not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They were standing about the door. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 7, He began to speak unto them again. He said, I am the door to the sheep. So this house was full to overflowing. You couldn't, there was no room to receive not one other person, not one other thing there in that house. But hallelujah, even around the door. But in verse 3 it says, and they come unto Him, being one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. In other words, here was a man who had palsy, and he was carried on a bed of affliction. He was carried by four men. Hallelujah. We need to know tonight, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, the word burden there is actually from the Greek word that means an invoice of a freight. And so what they were doing here is they were carrying this man. It's just like a modern-day truck driver. He picks up a man in his tractor trailer. He carries that burden. He carries that freight. And he always has an invoice. He's bearing one. That freight doesn't belong to him, but he's carrying it for one another, for someone else. And he has a destination. Church, we have a destination in our faith. Will bring us tonight. Our faith in Jesus Christ will bring us to that destination. All of us have faith. All of us have an invoice. That invoice signifies of what we're carrying tonight. I want to ask you something tonight. What are you carrying tonight? What burden are you carrying tonight? What does your invoice say? What does your burden say? What does your tetragram say there? That's what in the original Greek. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Galatians chapter 6, for the man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
when he thinks that he's carrying something that means something. There's a lot of times we're deceiving ourselves when we're not carrying anything. We need to carry faith tonight, faith in Jesus Christ. Is faith on your invoice of the burden that you're carrying tonight. Hallelujah. When they come there, these men were carrying him. They were like a truck driver. They had that freight. They had that burden. They had that man who was sick of palsy, and they had a destination. But when they come to the house, there was no room to receive them. There was no room to receive the burden that they were carrying. But the Bible says in verse 4, says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he be rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There was a time that this man would rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice.
Amen.
And again I say rejoice. He was letting his own work. He needed to prove his own work. This man wanted to rise up. This man wanted to walk just like every other man. This man wanted not to be sick any longer of this palsy. The Bible says in verse 5 there, Galatians chapter 6, for every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, he shall carry his own freight, his own weight, his own things. And this is what this man desired to do. He desired to be healed and made whole by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But going back to Mark chapter 2, the Bible says, and when they could not come nigh unto him, verse 4, for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your heart, be double-minded. Amen. And so tonight, our faith will cause us to draw nigh to Jesus Christ. And so their faith caused them to draw nigh to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, amen, endured the death of the cross and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We need to know tonight that we haven't reached our destination, even though when we get there, there are many times when we get there to the destination, there's standing room only. There's nowhere to receive us. There's no room to receive us, even around the door, even around the docks, even around the thing. But our faith will cause a way. The Bible says that they went up on the roof and uncovered it. They turned back the tiles of the roof. They let down, amen, this man sick of the palsy into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 said, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their conviction. He saw their reliance. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, he called him son. Amen. Hallelujah. Because why? Because he was come forth from Jesus Christ. Because he had the fruit of faith. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, talks about the nine fruits of the Spirit. Faith is one of them. This man had a faith. He had a faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's what's incorporated in that. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He had come to be healed, but he had gotten forgiveness. He had come to be healed. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When that man was lowered down and Jesus saw his faith, saw his belief in him, the truth that was standing before him, Jesus said in his word, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When this man come, he was gathered and quickened together with Christ Jesus. When he come, when he was let down, his faith brought him forgiveness. And the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. In other words, he changed the freight. He changed the invoice. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took that palsy. He took that affliction. He took that sickness and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says in verse 50, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When these sickness and afflictions, when you're going through, when you can't carry, when you can't go any farther, your faith will carry you just a little bit farther tonight. When you seemingly can't get into Jesus Christ, your faith will have access. When your faith will cause you to go up higher, go up on the rooftop, go up into a higher place with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will make you hallelujah, that he'll never push about, he'll never your affliction, he'll nail him there to the cross of Calvary, amen. And when he nails that, not only that, he'll nail your sins into that cross, amen, and triumphing over that. He began to show by faith, as this man and these men that carried him showed their faith unto Jesus Christ, that he showed there that their sins were nailed to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, these men that were standing around. Some of you need to know, not just me standing around in the midst of faith. Some of you are looking around and you're seeing the operation of faith, but it's the faith of other men or other women of God. You need to know, have faith for yourself. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hey, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But you need to know tonight that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 said that he was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received unto heaven. And the Bible says there in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? He asked him a question, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, about three or four words, or arise and take up thy bed and walk? What is easier to say? But that ye may know, this is the reason why, that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. In other words, he was talking to the scribes. He was talking to those that are standing around. Tonight, if you're standing around in other men's faith, if you're standing around in the presence of Jesus Christ and he doesn't see your faith, the Bible says, it talks about in the book of Luke, that there was a certain fig tree that bore no fruit. And the master of that fig tree said, why cometh the ground? In other words, this fig tree is useless, it's bearing no fruit. Tonight, if you're just standing around in the faith of others, you're bearing no fruit. Jesus cannot see your fruit. But tonight, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Tonight, if Jesus has not saw your faith, you're just dying. You're an unfruitful fig tree that's taking up place, that is useless. But tonight, by his grace and mercy, the man who worked with the tree said, let me dig around one more time. Let me work around it one more time. Faith without works is dead, being alone in the book of James. And amen. And no matter what you're going through, maybe things aren't working for you. Maybe in your circumstances you want to have faith. You need to know tonight that so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's a step there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must have the word of God to have faith. And you must have hearing of the word of God. You must have a hearing ear to hear. The Bible says, he said unto them that they would know. Those of you that are standing around need to know that he come there. Even the scribes thought he come there to get healing, and he did. But it came through the forgiveness of his sins. Not only forgiveness of his sins, but forgiveness of all of our sins. Church, tonight, as Jesus saw your faith, that you're bringing forth forgiveness in your own life, forgiveness of your sins, forgiveness of your offense, and then the Bible says, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. Here's his instruction. Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house. This was just miraculous, because what he was telling him, he came in carried on a bed, and he left carrying that bed. It was a bed of affliction. It was a bed of sickness. But the first thing he told him to do was rise up. Church, the first thing your faith will cause you to do will rise up from that places of deadness, from that places of sin, from that places of darkness. Those of you underneath the sound of my voice, you need to take up those things of affliction, those things of distress. You need to take away. He said, go thy way into thy own house. Some of you have been living in another house. Some of you, but you need to rise up right now under the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and go into thy own house. You prodigal sons, you prodigal daughters, you've left the Father's house. I'm talking about you've left Jesus. You've left God the Father. It's time for you to rise up out of that bed of affliction, out of those things of distress. And some of you have been hooked on drugs and alcohol and illicit things and sins. But right now, your faith, as you reach out and hear this word of God, your faith can rise up and change that freight and change that invoice and change what you're carrying and carrying on the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and immediately he arose and took up the bed. Those of you that have been forgiven of your sins, you need to take up the beds of affliction. You need to take up the beds of sin immediately and get that out of your life. And he went forth before them all in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You need to know tonight that your faith will make a new fashion statement. We've never seen him this way. We've never seen him that way. But once, and just like this man of faith, when he saw their faith, tonight, those of you that are listening to the word of God tonight, faith can put on a new fashion and a new fashion statement and change you. And when you go forth, God will be glorified, people will be amazed because they have never seen you walk like this before. Take up thy bed. I charge you tonight, church. Let Jesus see your faith. Go ahead, Brother Lloyd.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother John. 423-337, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Pete, I just listened to that good testimony about the four men carrying the man that had that property going through the roof. And did you ever think about what their names were?
No, I never did.
Well, I'm going to tell you their names. They were Faith, Hope, Persistent, Charity.
Amen. I agree with you there.
They had all of it, and they were determined to get that man to Jesus, and they did, regardless of what they had to do. And if people be more persistent today, they could get more blessings. And that was
Amen.
A good testimony. I like it about the four men, because that's a good testimony to this sermon right there.
Amen. 3-5-1, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
This is Connie, and I'm just sitting here listening. I like the fashion statement he kept talking about.
We were 10 people in on this. Get this.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him preaching. He was very good.
Amen. Well, that was the
We had four men saved at the jail Sunday night, and every one of the women came up and got prayed for and knelt on the floor, and those that weren't sure of their salvation, by the time the service was over with, they were sure.
Amen. Had four to get saved in jail Sunday night?
Four men.
Amen.
We had four men saved in the men's service, and we had, I don't know how many men was in the service, but there were four men that were saved, and there were 15 women, and there wasn't a seat in the house left before everybody came up to the altar. And when they got up, there were tear-filled faces, and everybody knew when they got up that it was all right with God.
Amen. That makes me feel like shouting right here now.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really good service, I have to admit. It was really terrific. The Holy Ghost moved. There wasn't any singing. Didn't need no singing because the Holy Ghost moved, and it was a wonderful service on both counts. But I thank God for what he's doing over there.
Amen.
Praise God. I tell you what, I've been over two or three times there with Brother Jackie Wakefield.
Mm-hmm.
We had good service, but I'm
he
just
was there Sunday
cut
night.
Out. Huh?
He was one of them there Sunday night.
He was. Well,
mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. I'm just not cut out for jail work, but I thank God for for the ones that is and for the ones that has that burden, because they've got a burden and they're reaching the people that I can't reach at the present time. So I thank God.
Well, the way it works is each one of us have a job, and you're doing your job that God gave you to do.
Amen. Well,
that's all it takes. We just have to follow His lead.
Yeah, we got to follow the leadership of God, and that's this has been my desire and the leadership of God for several years. And I used to be on WWCR out in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was costing us $15 every 15 minutes, but thank God, God made it possible for us to go internet, and it's it was $72.50 for 15 minutes on the WWCR out in Nashville, Tennessee, but this way here just cost us our internet service and our phone service. So I just thank God that we are a whole lot cheaper.
Amen.
And I just praise God for what He's doing for us. I made mention there earlier about Sister Kelly Miller and Brother Kevin Miller. Brother Kevin lost his wife Friday. And she was real young. I think she's about 45 or 46, something like that. And she left four small kids behind. I guess the youngest one's probably 4 or 5 years old. And we need to lift them up and pray for them before we go off the air. And we just... I was telling earlier there, Kim and her made a CD, and they made it reached number one in the chart on in Kokomo, Indiana, where she lives at, and number one here in Madisonville, Tennessee too. So we just thank God that that it is doing that, and God is blessing it. And it's just sorry that she never did hear the report of it. But we're happy, and I know that she would have been happy too. So well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We got about 2 minutes left, and let's just pray for that family. Pray that God will comfort that family in this next a few days, and they're going to have her funeral Wednesday. So it's just pray for them that they'll have the strength. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You right now, God, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity. Lord, we ask You, God, that You would just give Brother Kevin and all of the kids, God, comfort, Father, for this next few days, God, and be with them for the years to come, Lord. We know, God, that they're going to miss, God, their mother, God. And, Lord, Brother Kevin's going to miss his wife. Father, we just ask You, Lord, that You will just give them that peace, that comfort that they have the need of, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
We've got about 90 minutes left here. Brother John, you want to come back in there and tell us about your church again?
Yeah, I feel to say this. Several years ago, I had an evangelist friend of mine that he lost his wife to cancer. She was about 30-some years old. He was in the ministry just like Brother Kevin and Sister Kelly. And they had one little girl. This is a true story. He wrote a song. He, on the day of the funeral, his little girl, her bedroom was right across the street from, right across the hall from the father's bedroom, and the day they buried the mother, they, he heard his little girl in there crying in the bedroom, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, or she asked if she could move the bed right across the the hall and right there at the door, that she asked if Daddy would keep his face turned towards her all night long, and he said he would, and so she went off to sleep. She had trouble sleeping, but with the assurance that her daddy would have his face turned towards her all night long, she went off to sleep, and he began to say and ask the Lord, question the Lord, Lord, what, you know, why did you take my wife from me? Why did you, you know, and then it seemed like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him in the middle of the night. He says, even as your face is turned towards your daughter, do you not know that my face is turned towards you, my son, even in your darkest hour? So whoever's out there tonight, even in death, that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is turned towards you this night and this hour to keep you and to lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, we've done gone off, so we'll do this next week and still go with faith and just praise God for it. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank each one of you for calling in. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.